Hey, this is Aaron from She Walks Without Legs and Echopod Media doing rock stories, and my first guest ever is Jesse James from Composing the Apocalypse, Posidemic Entertainment. Jesse James.
James and Johnson.
James and Johnson, yes. And everything else that he's involved in everywhere. How long have you been doing the music thing, then?
I started in probably 6th or 7th grade with my first band, if you will.
Yeah.
I probably didn't play my first show till I was probably about 19, I think. But, and then after that, you know, I went through different bands and finally started really playing shows, started playing guitar and singing. That was with Derail, Damage Tone back in, I think, early 2000s, probably right around 2000. Went through that, did the Derail, Damage Tone, Damage Tone 2.0, Fallout. After Fallout, I joined a band called Under a Dead Sky. After that dissipated, I joined a band called Pavalia, which eventually turned into the Symphony Within. And then I moved to Florida.
I tried out for a Symphony Within.
Did you? After I left. After they fired me.
That's ridiculous, man. Just on a side note, how I feel about that, because I heard a lot about that whole thing.
I was a young kid then, too, you know? I mean, I didn't realize just what it took to be in a band, you know? A lot of times there's a, you know, there's a band leader, there's somebody who's, you know, very headstrong, but that same person that's headstrong also has to be diplomatic.
Yeah.
And democratic. And now I've learned that, you know, like, we just finally decided what we're going to do for Composing the Apocalypse for recording.
Yes.
And I wanted to go in the studio. I was all about, let's go in the studio. These guys were like, well, let's do it ourselves. Let's get the equipment and do it ourselves. And there's pluses and minuses to both.
Yeah.
And finally, I just threw my arms up. I said, listen, if 3 out of 5 of us decide to record it ourselves, that's what we'll do. And I'll go with that.
Right.
Because this isn't my band, you know, and
that's right. Supposed to be an our band thing,
right.
Not just.
And when I was in, you know, the Symphony Within and bands before that, it was my band, you know, and that's probably one of the main reasons why I got fired, you know, and now I don't want any of the control. I don't want any of the say. I want them to have the say.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
If I have to make an executive decision, fine, but otherwise it's like, man, you know, this is our band, you know,
right.
And it's because of them, it's because of these great musicians that I play with that I'm able to do what I do.
Absolutely.
You know, without them, I'd have my guitar riffs, which aren't bad, but the guys I play with are amazing.
Yeah, they are.
So
absolutely.
I'm very thankful
to
be able to front a band with such great musicians behind me. You know, it's
I learned the same thing with Pull Out Method, man. It's not because I went into the whole thing like, yeah, I'm front man, so okay, it's what I say. No. No, it's not like that at all.
No.
At all. Nope. Yeah. You have to take in consideration everybody else and everybody else's lives. You know.
We have a song, What Lies Beneath, where the whole end of the song is all instrumental. And normally we always open up with that song.
Yeah.
It's a killer opener. And during the end, I would walk to the bar, get a shot, come back, stand with the crowd, and applaud Composing the Apocalypse.
Yeah, that's cool.
As a band, as a whole, because they deserve the praise. We recently, at our last show, we decided to switch things around and make it the last song. So I completely walk off stage, and then they take the spotlight for the whole end of the set. Nobody knows where I disappeared to. And then I come back.
You just
and
give them the main
absolutely,
vocal.
You know,
yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's... They all deserve such credit. I mean, Matt, who writes the majority of the guitar, or has written the majority of the guitar, the new stuff is going to be a more culmination of everybody.
Yeah.
But He's an incredible guitarist, and he did the chord structures he comes up with, it's just like, it's mind-boggling. And then, you know, with the addition of Tanner, who, I mean, he's quiet. Well, he's not quiet, but on the guitar, he's quiet. He's he doesn't like to boast, but, I mean, this guy's an insane guitar player. And, you know, every time he'll start running with a lead at practice, or if we're just, you know, screwing around, jamming on something, he stops because everybody's looking at him. I'm like, no, dude, keep fucking going, man.
Right, right.
And, you know, and then this year... Well, last year we had the addition of Steve and Mike after Colin and Brian left the band, and Steve went to Berkeley for tuba and music theory.
Berkeley,
yes. Yeah, and the kid is, I mean, he's 24 years old now. He's amazing. You know, he knows his shit, and it's actually really good because a lot of times I don't know how to, like, how to get out what I'm saying. Like, I'll be like, oh, try this, and I don't know how to word it properly. Or
to translate it, yeah.
And Steve's right there going, oh, no, do this, and speaking in all these technical terms that I know nothing about. I think I told him the other day, I said, what are we building, an airplane, you know, or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
And then Mike, our new drummer, he went to UMass for drum corps, and, I mean, the kid's solid, and I work with them both at KMC Music, so it's like, you know, we see each other at work, and then we see each other for composing practice, and then Tanner, Mike, and Steve are all in James and Johnson as well. Yeah. So it's like we're always hanging out, and yeah, it's cool. It's like a family, you know. And
cool.
And I know what it's like to be in a band now.
Yeah. That's cool, man. All right, I guess we're gonna play a song. And
well, we were just talking about What Lies Beneath, so we should play that. It's a demo version.
Yeah.
We are going into the studio to record the EP, which will have that on it. What Lies Beneath is going to feature Paul from Left Hand Backwards.
Yeah. So I'm at a Guar show not too long ago.
Did you?
Yeah, over at Toads.
Well, it's funny because we call each other our twins because we look very similar.
Yeah, you guys do.
And if we ever end up doing a music video for What Lies Beneath, Paul's going to be my opposite, the mirror, because the song's about looking into the mirror, so he's going to be the mirror image of me in the video, so it's going to be really cool, and that's why I wanted him to do that song.
Nice.
And then we're also going to do Divine Myth, which is going to feature Tyler from Beget the Nephilim. We're going to do Party of None, which is going to feature Josh from Fear the Masses. Killing All Things will feature Justin and Daryl on guitar from Aceus.
Yeah.
Then obviously we got you coming to punch you in the
face. I'm going to get punched in the face.
Then we got Topsy Kretz. Adam from We Are Nothing is going to be doing the vocals on Topsy Kretz. So
cool, man.
It's going to be really stellar. It's going to be a cool experience, and we're doing it ourselves. So, you know, we'll have a little more time. We don't have to pay for the time,
right? And you can pace yourself on it and take your time.
Absolutely. Obviously, you know, I side with the studio. I mean, just because these are guys that they do this every day.
No.
You know, it's like, you know, going to a specialist for anything. You know, like, you wouldn't have me play guitar on the album, you know, because I don't play guitar every day, you know?
Right. It's just like me, I wouldn't play guitar on the album because I don't play guitar.
Right, and these guys, they record bands every day, and that's something that we don't do, but I think between the knowledge of all of us, we can come up with a really good product. And
absolutely.
We might even have Colin, our old drummer, who is a fantastic musician. He's not even a drummer, he's a guitar player. But he was such a nasty drummer, too, and he's actually the one that produced our demo. So, I mean, I think it'll be good, and I think you'll like it.
All right, we're going to play that song. And check it out.
What Lies Beneath.
Yes, What Lies Beneath.
It's a song about mirrors.
Yes. And reflection.
Yes.
And seeing yourself.
I'm gonna go back to the dark.
So that was What Lies Beneath.
That was What Lies Beneath. Composing the Apocalypse. I'm here with Jesse James in my first podcast interview. Winging it, kinda. All right, Jesse, what's the craziest memory show you've ever played or booked?
Oh, boy. I mean, I gotta go with our show at the Lily Pad. No. It's not a show that I booked. It was a show with, what the hell was the name of it? Maniac Production? I don't even know. Because the guy wasn't even there. First of all, we get there. They said to get there for 3. They said to get there for 2. And the guy that was running it wasn't even there. Did not show up the whole night. He sent somebody else to run the show who didn't get there till 3. Then they were talking about starting the show at 4 when the tickets said 7. So, I mean, we knew it was a clusterfuck from the start.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you ever played the Lily Pad.
We haven't played that yet.
You gotta walk upstairs, like two flights of stairs.
Yeah, I've seen the
narrow hallway. And we had a friend who was in a wheelchair, so we had to get her up there. They had no wheelchair access.
Yeah.
You get up there, there's no sound guy, no monitors. They did not have a single thing mic'd except for the vocals. So we knew it was going to be a shit show.
Yeah.
So we ended up going down a couple doors and had some pizza and beer. And most of us got really drunk. I wasn't one of the most of us, but it was a complete shit show.
It gets to the point where it's just like, yeah, fuck this.
Brian, Brian's wireless pulled out of his guitar. His strap button pulled out of his guitar, so he had to play half the set kind of crunched down with the bass on his knee. Tanner and Matt, something was wrong. Like, one of their guitars was completely a half set down because the tuner was not calibrated correctly. It was just a complete shit show. I guess it was fun. I think Left Hand Backwards played that show. So to continue, and it was, but it was just, it was a very poorly run show.
No.
And I had run shows in the past. I used to run shows at the TKB Club in Vernon, all the time. Back when I was in Derail, Damaged Tone, and I had just started booking at Cherry Street, a month before.
Mm.
And I kind of knew what I was doing. When it comes to booking shows, I have a very good business sense. Everybody,
oh, absolutely.
Everybody,
my band loves working with
you. Yeah, dude. Everybody. That's the thing is we've never had anybody come up to us and say, "Man, you don't know how to run a show." Everybody says, "Wow, that ran really smooth." And that's how I want to run things. I want people to come to the show, enjoy the show. Yeah, it's a pain in the ass, especially when my band's also playing. But shows should be run smooth. They should, as long as everybody takes care of, is on time. I always try to, if I know we're crunched on time, even if my band's not playing, I try to help unload the band that's on stage and load the band on that's coming on next, just because I want the show to go as smooth as possible. I want everybody to get their full half hour set. That show at Toads, the Lily Pad, I'll never play there again.
No.
Ever. That was by far the worst show. So it's definitely the most memorable.
No, right.
By far.
And I guess that brings it to the next question, which is, what would you like to see happen or change with the local music scene?
It's been, and honestly, this is half the reason why I didn't want to be on Facebook. This past week has been nothing but complain this, complain that, negative post this, negative post that about the scene, and what needs to be done about it, and some people have really good points, and some people have really shitty points.
Mm.
Some people only care about their band. Me, obviously I don't, because I'm booking shows that my band isn't playing. I care about all of the bands. I've had, since July of 2013, I've had over 60 bands play for me. And it's crazy, man. Like, most of them are from Connecticut, but you got probably maybe a dozen, a little less maybe, from Mass. You know, a couple from New Hampshire, Vermont, New York, New Jersey, you know, and it's really cool, and they love coming up to play.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got shows like the Five Bands for $5 I had, which I do every other month. The one I had at All Stars was awesome. We had 115 people come through that door that
That's weren't awesome.
In bands. You know, then the Five Bands for $5 we just had at Cook's. It was going on the same day as Hoffest in Mass.
No.
We had 25 people walk through the door. Mm. But then again, we also had representatives from four bands that weren't playing that night, which is really cool to see. It was really, you know, so what needs to be done? I don't know.
What would you like to see happen?
Adam and I have actually talked a lot about this. And you know, some people feel it's saturated. I don't know many of the other promoters other than Eric Ioka and Brian Almeida, which are two great dudes.
Oh, yeah.
We're actually sitting down for sushi on Sunday to discuss this very topic.
I'm jealous.
you know, and I don't know, like I said, I don't know any of the other promoters, and I don't want to step on anybody's toes that I don't know.
Right.
But between Eric, Brian, and I, we put on some really good shows.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, at least if we don't have our own venue, which that's maybe many years down the road, but, you know, Thursday night, do some sort of either acoustic, radio metal, radio rock night, you know, because there's bands out there, and admittedly by those bands, Whiskey and the Martyr, In the Red, they're great bands.
Serious Fades.
But yeah, Serious Fades. Mm. But playing with a band like Begat the Nephilim is kind of, whoo, you know, that, I mean, that's two ends of the scale.
Yeah.
You know, the Five Bands for $5 show, you can kind of get away with that because that's to get people out to see the variety of bands.
Right.
So, but if we did like Thursday night, you say, or say 1 week, Thursday night, I have an acoustic slash radio metal show, whatever. Friday night, Eric has a show. Saturday night, Brian has a show. The following week, Thursday night, Eric has an acoustic type show. Then Friday night, I have a show, a metal show.
You guys like switching it up.
But there's only that one show going on. That is huge. That is one of the main things that need to happen is there has to be one central place for that day to go to, you know. And yeah, you're gonna have other promoters like John True, who's awesome, Killer Robot, who's awesome, and they might book a show down here in Connecticut, but we need to focus on Connecticut.
Yeah,
you know, we need to, all right, boom, it's Thursday night, it's Brian, Eric, or Jesse's show, we're going there. It's Friday night, and maybe you can't make all three shows that week, but you know you're going to one show that weekend, and you know it's going to either be Eric's show, my show, or Brian's show.
Right.
And you know, and unfortunately, those are the only good nights to have shows.
Oh, well, yeah.
We could do Sunday night, possibly.
That's a toss-up.
You know, I've had good shows on Sunday nights, and I've seen bad shows on Sunday nights. But there needs to be that one place to go to that everybody knows there's a show going on here. Another thing, and like, for example, you know, John had Hoffest going on during our Christmas chaos, the same day. No, I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, when you have different, having the same different shows on the same day is conflicts everything.
Right. Well, he had the it was the Thanksgiving, the snow delay for Thanksgiving. He had on the same day as Christmas Chaos, and that I'm sure took away. Because, I mean, he had Josta on that bill. He had, you know, Dead by Wednesday on that bill, you know. So it's going to take away from the draw. Even though Cherry Street's far away, it's still, you got a bigger show going on, which sucked because, I mean, thankfully it was good. We raised a lot of money for the Wallingford Public Schools Music Department. We raised some money for Cherry Street. So
I got a guitar.
You got a guitar, you know.
That's
like,
pretty awesome.
It, it turned out okay, you know. But then we had the show on the 10th at Cook's. Like I said, we only had 25 people to come through the door, which is not horrible, but I'm sure there were a lot more people at Hoffest. So I look at that and go, okay, well, you know, Brian's in a band, I'm in a band, and Eric's not in a band. But where was Eric that night? And I'm not trying to dog Eric. I love Eric to death. He's my favorite little midget. But he was at Hoffest. Now, if you're trying to grow the Connecticut scene, you should be at a Connecticut show, in my opinion. You know, unless you, like, I think the Shape played that show. I'm not sure.
Hoffest, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, okay. So, Brian being up there, whatever. You know, he's playing a show, dude. Like, I get it. That I get. But we need to build Connecticut, you know, and not, you know, yeah, you can go to other shows, you know, but at the same time, the three of us need to work together and be going to each other's shows all the time and having that be that central place to be, you know. John and Killer Robot Productions, they got, you know, True and Killer Robot, they have Massachusetts, you know, but we need to get a lockdown on Connecticut.
No.
And it can't be, definitely can't be, I mean, never mind here in Mass, but it can't be a show at Cook's and a show at Cherry Street on the same night.
No.
And that brings up the topic, are the bars going to suffer?
Right.
Because you have that one show. And don't get me wrong, Cherry Street, Sarah books her own shows.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that can still go on too. But I don't see the bar suffering as much, or at least I'm hoping, I guess, because while you don't have 20 people at this venue, 20 people at that venue, 20 people at that venue on the same night, you have maybe more than 60. Maybe you have 80 people at this venue this night. 80 to 100 people at this venue that night, you know, and it keeps moving around. And on top of that, you got, you know, if I want to go see She Walks Without Legs, who's playing at Cherry Street tonight, but, you know, Lightsbane is playing at Cook's.
Right.
And Dream of Scipio with Aceus are playing at All Stars. You know, bouncing around from bar to bar, that's just a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
You know, but if you know on Friday night, She Walks Without Legs, Dream of Scipio, Aceus, Lightsbane are all going to be at
one bill,
you know, City Limits. Okay, cool. We're going to go there that night. Oh, and then the next night, Saturday night, there's a kick-ass show at, you know, at this place. So, yeah, we're going to go there that night, you know. And
just keeping it scheduled right.
Right, right. And being in contact with each other.
Yeah.
Can you talk specifically to bands? What kind of attitude they should have? How they should treat self-promotion?
What kind of attitude they should have? Like, towards promoters or towards each other? Or
everybody. Like, I've seen so many fucking posts on Facebook when I was in a band of, you know, nobody's coming to our shows, fuck everybody, all that bullshit. I want to know, like,
you definitely don't want to start with that, you know, because, I mean, and my company says it all, it's Positemic Entertainment, it's Positive Epidemic, you know. You start posting that, oh, nobody's coming to the show, this and that, it's just negative post after negative
people
post.
People are just, aren't going to want to mess with you.
No, it's, it's, you know, and that, I mean, a little off topic, but, you know, people that post their negative drama on Facebook, it's like, listen, your real friends should know what's going on. Everybody else just wants to gossip, and that's the only reason why they want to know your business. So, in reality, nobody gives a shit unless they're your real friends.
No.
So don't fucking post negative shit because nobody gives a shit. You know, I mean, dude, I've had shit happen to me in this past year that's been fucking crazy. I didn't post any of it on Facebook.
No.
You know, it was,
I mean,
just
I've been guilty of posting.
Everybody's life, guilty, you know, but you know, and that's one thing, another reason why I didn't want to be on Facebook, you know, because, like, man, you know what, my real friends should know what's going on. And if they don't, they can't call me their real friend. But yeah, like, bands gotta stay, they have to stay positive, they gotta, because what you're putting out there to the people that aren't in bands is, whoa, poor me, oh, fuck everybody, you know, you're putting this bad taste, nobody's gonna want to come to the show, you know.
It makes you sound pathetic. And, well, obviously we suck because nobody's showing up, so I shouldn't go.
Dude, I'll tell you, after the January 10th show, it was awesome. Like I said, 25 people showed up. Representatives from four other bands showed up, which was awesome. But Risk All in Life, who jumped on when Mark Rizzo jumped off.
No.
Because he's recording with Soulfly, and I am assured that he will make it up to me. If not Mark Rizzo, Soulfly or Cavalier Conspiracy.
So, nice.
So that's in the works. And nice. I'm a huge...
That's the balls, man.
Always cool. Loved Max Cavalera. So if I can get Soulfly, it'd be awesome. But Risk All in Life... first thing they did is just post positive thank you for everybody. It was an awesome night. And, you know, I was bumming because, you know, earlier that night, 60 Grit had dropped off because Dylan had a fever.
Yeah,
he was sick. Passed out when he was loading his drums in, understandably. You know, Christian was like, do you want to talk to him? I'm like, no, dude, don't worry about it, you know. But, so I was a little bumming. It's like, oh, man. Plus, I know this, you know, Hawfest is going on. And it's just like, oh, completely sucked, you know. And the positivity that they, them, Bottom Fed, who came all the way out from Cape Cod, from Buzzards Bay. And they were just, like, so appreciative. And they're like, man, everybody's great. And, you know. And it was really cool. And Disease Party, I don't know if you've seen these guys.
Oh, I'm friends with Pat from a long time ago.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Now,
those guys are crazy.
I have a habit of not listening to bands before I book them. Unless I've already seen them out at some other show.
Yeah.
Now, Ryan Tufts, he's been to a bunch of our shows. He's usually the dude dancing around, dude. He always comes up to me after every show. Dude, that's fucking awesome. I got a band. Can you book us? Yeah, okay, dude. Sure. We're called Disease Party. All right, cool. No clue what I was in for. You know, I didn't know what I was going to get. If I was going to get some, you know, scumfuck punk band or, you know, I had no clue. And these guys fucking, I mean, Adam from We Are Nothing told me, like, dude, these guys are amazing. And I definitely trust his judgment.
No, for sure.
And these guys got on stage, man, and holy shit. I was just blown away. I went from being all bumming to a big smile on my face, like, holy fuck, man. Yeah. Thank God we went first, you know. And that's another thing is, you know, bands, you know, time slot. Oh, we got to do, what the fuck, we got to go first, or what the fuck, we got to go last. You know, dude, my band just played my own show on January 10th. The way I do my shows, you know.
Yeah.
You get there on time for loading, and you draw your set time out of a hat.
Yep.
We drew first, you know. During the ACS CD release party, Cyperna drew first. It's like, you're going to put one of the most nastiest bands on first.
Wow.
But it opened up the show to something amazing. Oh, it was just like, oh, this is what we're in store for. Okay, cool. You know, and the reason why I do that is because I give, as you know, I give the bands tickets to sell. Now, most venues, the Webster, the Palladium, Toads, whatever, they give you tickets to sell, but they take most of your money.
Yeah.
I don't do that. I'll give you tickets to sell. You keep 100% of what you sell. So discount the tickets, give them away for free. I don't care.
Right.
It's your money. You can make 100% of it. You can make a good portion of your money. Matter of fact, at the Cook Show, we got finished playing, and we were talking about the band fund. I had mentioned the band fund, which we have a little bit of money in. And Steve, our bass player, is like, we have a band fund? I was like, yeah. He's like, well, how do we get more money in the band fund? I said, sell tickets to my show. You guys don't sell tickets. My own band never sells tickets.
No.
So we don't make any money. But we have a chance. I mean, fuck, you sell 10 tickets, you make $50.
Right.
You know, if it's the anniversary show, those are $10 tickets. You know, we got a show coming up in May, the all ages show.
Yeah,
13 hours of music.
Yeah, it's gonna
for
be
$13
awesome.
Bucks. That's $13 in your pocket, man. Like, you have the potential to make money for your band.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's all your money. I don't want it. The only money I want is the money that comes in the door. You know, because I put the show together. I'm promoting it. And if you didn't sell or give away your tickets, well, then those are my tickets.
I know from experience, man, there's no one else that I've ever worked with as far as like doing shows that it's ever been like that, and we've been able to actually make money.
Yeah, it's good, man. Like, even 60 Crit made money. Hopefully their fans still showed up to the show.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but it's... And then, because of that, I have no way of tracking ticket sales. So I can't say, oh, you know, She Walks sold 20 tickets, Composing sold 15, Lightsbane sold 30. Lightsbane, you get first pick at time slot.
Mm.
That's the way the Webster does it.
Mm.
Which is fine.
Yeah, it's fair.
But they also took most of your money.
Right.
So... I'm not going to take your money, and you're going to just randomly pick your time slot out of a hat, except for the big shows where it's like 23 bands.
No.
You know, obviously, everybody's got to pick their time slot at that point because it would just be a complete clusterfuck.
Mm.
But, you know, all the five, you know, it's no more, not usually more than five bands in a show. Sometimes it's six, and they're all happy drawn out of a hat. Because it's fair. You know, I keep it fair for everybody. And that's, I think that's really important when it comes to promoters and what they, you know, what they do with the bands in the show. Keep it fair. If you can, do your best to stay sober till the end of the night.
Yeah.
You know, I usually only have three drinks if it's a show I'm promoting. If it's a show that my band's playing or if I'm at a show, well, you know me.
Yeah, it's another star. Sorry, yeah.
But yeah, you know, bands, they got to keep a positive attitude about things and you know, not judge the other bands because, you know, there's bands out there that you may not like, but somebody does. Right. At least 3 to 4 to 5 guys do, which if they do, I'm assuming somebody else does.
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of bands that some people just don't give that chance to.
Yeah.
And
there are a lot of bands out there that are really, really, really judgmental.
Yeah, and find something you like, you know. And, you know, another thing is, you know, when bands are playing, watch them. Because they're going to watch you, you know. At least you hope they are.
Right.
You know, you don't have to stand there for the whole set. If you really like them, cool. I try my best to stay for every set.
Yeah.
Just because I know what it's like to... have somebody stand there for 2 songs and then walk away and then come back for the last song. You know, it kind of sucks. It's like I'm putting my art out there and
Right. You're
only appreciating some of it because you want to support. That's fine, but I'd appreciate it more if you actually liked what I'm doing.
Yeah,
you know?
Indulged yourself into it more.
Yeah, right. It's, you know, another problem, is, and this goes out to the venues, is don't have a fucking TV going. If there is live music in your venue, shut your fucking TVs off.
Mm.
And if it's some big, big, big sports game, then don't have live music.
Right.
You know? Like, you pick one or the other, you know, but it's very, I don't know the word, disrespectful, I guess, to bands to have, you know, a TV going, you know, in the background. Well, you know, you're trying to put your art out there. You know?
Right.
These guys are getting paid millions of dollars to be on TV. And we're getting paid nothing. We're getting paid $5 a ticket, you know. And so, I don't know. There's a lot of problems, a lot of things that need to be discussed, need to be fixed. You know, some people say, well, there's too many bands. There's a lot of bands.
There is.
More than back, you know, in the day, there's definitely a lot more. But there's also more venues opening up their doors, and why not? Why? Who cares if there's a lot of bands? That's a lot of variety, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, so if you have three if you have 3 shows a week, you know, that's 15 bands, and you do a couple big festivals, you know, both the anniversary show and the 13 Hours of Music. 13 Hours of Music is only for bands that have played for me. Over the course since July of 2013.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. That's all I'm allowing. It's a reward of sorts, I guess you'd say. Like, somebody, I had bands ask me, oh, can we get on that show? And I'm like, no. I'm sorry. I'd love to have you. But this show is for bands that have played for me.
Right.
I'm giving them this opportunity to play this big show that's all ages, so people that don't normally come out to see them on a Friday or Saturday night because it's 21 plus are going to get to see them, but maybe buy their shirt, buy their CD. So yeah, no, I'm not going to give it to some band that hasn't played for me before. And then the anniversary show is just the bands that have played for me over the course of that year.
That year,
you
right.
know. So it's just something to say, hey, thank you. I read a post the other day on Facebook. Well, who needs promoters? Right, we don't, because there's band members like myself and Brian who can put together shows.
Yeah.
Now I just took it to the next level, and I'm doing both, you know, and but I'm appreciative of the bands, because if it weren't for the bands, there would be no show, you know, and that's what's important, you know. There's a lot to be discussed, and I think, you know, this will only be the first sushi meeting.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm going to actually probably close this off, play another tune that's off their two song. That they got, Top Secrets, I believe
Top
is.
Top Secrets, yeah. Yes. The number 23.
Yes, I love that movie.
About the movie The Number 23. Oh, yeah. I got that idea, real quick. I got that idea, a lot of people don't like Asking Alexandria, but I got it from an Asking Alexandria song called Hey There, Mr. Brooks. Now, I'd heard that song before I ever saw the movie Mr. Brooks. I knew about the movie Mr. Brooks, but I had never seen it. And I listened to the song, loved the song.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went and watched the movie, and I was like, this part matches. And one thing that really caught me in the song was he says, oh, the bullet's gone. I take this blade. I slit your throat. So my thought was, okay, he's out of bullets. He took a knife. He slit this dude's throat, which turned out to be Dane Cook. Unfortunately, it was just a movie. But in the movie, his gun jams. And he takes a spade shovel and slits Dane Cook's throat with a spade shovel, which is epic.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, all right, cool. And Jim Carrey is by far my favorite actor.
Mm.
And the number 23, my birthday's October 23rd, so 23 resonates with me.
Yeah.
Plus, the way the movie was done was amazing. So it inspired me. And when we came up with the song, I couldn't think of lyrics for it. I was just like, nothing feels right.
Mm.
And so I went back, and I had only seen the number 23 once. I read through the synopsis, and I said, okay. Yeah, I remember now. You know, I refreshed my memory, and what I did, the movie takes it from where he is already, you know, had amnesia, he's got this family now, doesn't remember anything that happened.
Yeah.
Well, I took it, and I put it all in chronological order for the song. So it takes it from before he had amnesia, through that, all the way to the end where he tries to kill himself.
Right.
So that's how I wrote Top Secrets. So here it is.
All right. Awesome.
Dead and gone, lived in soul of soul.
just nonfiction. So real, like deja vu, only stronger. I can't put my finger on it. Something just doesn't feel right. I'm seeing being laid out before me. Oh no, what if I am not wrong? Was it me all along? This is not where I belong. Save me now.
Topsy Kretz from Composing the Apocalypse.
Yes.
Yeah.
Still here with Jesse James, Composing the Apocalypse.
We have not wrapped this up yet.
Yes. One last question. Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years musically?
Oh, musically in the next 5 years. Well, you know, like we touched on at the beginning of this, I have James and Johnson. I have Composing the Apocalypse plus Posidemic Entertainment. You know, Posidemic Entertainment's obviously my baby. It doesn't take talent, it takes respect, positive vibes, and knowing how to run a business to run a show. I would love to see that blow up. I would love to be booking Soulfly, you know, fucking, I'd love to book Metallica. I'd love to book a lot of the bigger bands.
Yeah, get some big nationals, yeah.
But not discrediting the, and I don't like to call them local bands, the unsigned bands.
Right.
Because I would book Soulfly and book She Walks Without Legs with Soulfly.
Right.
Because I want to give back.
I might take you up on
that. I'm hoping for my birthday this year that's what will happen. And my band's not going to play my birthday, so I'm going to get...
Why not?
Because I don't want to.
Okay. Right.
Actually, I'd have Marissa from Posidemic Entertainment do the booking for that show.
Oh, cool.
And actually, you guys were one of the bands I wanted.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
You know, I'd love to see it, to see us get big to the point where I don't have to work a day job, where my day job is booking shows, getting shows together, making sure that the bands are taken care of. I give all the bands a band card. It's got their logo on it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got Posidemic Entertainment's logo on it. And that band card is good for life. So if we do end up at that point where I'm booking these great bands and whatever, dude, any band that has ever played with me can walk in that door. I don't care if it's a $50 ticket. Dude, I belong here. Because you do.
Yeah.
You know, no band that has played for me should ever have to pay for one of my shows. Ever, 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 ever. So that's where I see Posidemic Entertainment.
Right on.
Composing the Apocalypse... I don't know. It all depends. I mean, we got some really talented dudes who do a lot of other extracurricular activities.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I just do music and ride my Harley. But, you know, Matt, he does mountain climbing. like, he works at a hospital. You know, his career could go this way. Tanner's got two kids. You know, his career could go, you know, his life could go this path. I don't know. What I hope for is I hope we're together for the next 5 years. I hope Composing the Apocalypse has like two albums out. At least, you know, if I could play a tour and have an album out, I'd be happy, man. I'd be satisfied. If we can make money off of it, awesome. It'd be great. I've always said, man, if I can make what I make at my day job off of music, I will be happy. I don't need to be rich. I definitely don't need to be famous. Just making enough to survive.
Yeah.
So, I hope Composing is on the tip of everybody's tongue in the next 5 years, you know? And then you got James and Johnson featuring 4/5 of Composing the Apocalypse. We have probably over 30 covers. We have 8 originals right now. Doesn't mean we can't do more.
Right.
We're very people-friendly, if you will. We can go into any bar, play for anybody, and most of the population will like us. Even some of the metal guys like our stuff, which is really strange, but it's really cool. Now that, in the next 5 years, if I see anything taking off, and not by my own efforts, meaning, you know, I put a lot of effort into Posdemic Entertainment, I put a lot of effort into Composing the Apocalypse, James and Johnson, I put barely any effort into. We get together, we play, we have a good time. People ask us to play shows, like I don't ever book us, like, unless it's something like the show in May, you know, but I don't ever book us. Somebody else books us. I think, if anything, that'll take off for some stupid reason, just because it's pop culture. I mean, it's, you know, we play everything from country to southern rock to Alice in Chains, staying, you know, and our originals are catchy, you know, and it's songs that the masses would want to hear, you know. Not everybody wants to go to a metal show, you know, but I hope, and we have the talent to do so, that, you know, we can do something great. You know, we played a couple of our songs on PPRN on Wednesday night, which was awesome. So those of you who are listening now, please go to pprnlive.com and check out that syndicated live radio show. It's really awesome. It's a really fun time. Bands that are listening, I encourage you to go on PPRN because it's so much fun. We've also done OFNR, we've done the Metal Syndicast, and next Tuesday, if you're up at 5 o'clock in the morning, well, if you're up at 2 o'clock in the morning, tune in to 91.7 WHUS for the Metal Fortress. That's on from 2 to 7. But myself and Carrie from Posdemic Entertainment are going to be on there from 5 to 7. And then we're both going to work. So.
Cool.
So it's going to be cool. So also, another thing we do at our shows is I get tons of music from the bands that play for me. Usually they give me their CD for free because they're awesome like that. But in turn, what I do is I play their music in between the bands at my shows, because I don't want somebody hearing Disturbed or Five Finger Death Punch or whoever, you know, whoever's already made it. I want them listening to bands that have played my shows, because that's what's important. So bands that play for me, give me your CD so I can play it in between bands at the shows. And also at this year's anniversary show, we will have a compilation CD of the bands that played from 2013 to 2014. And then next year, we'll have one from 2014 to 2015.
Very cool,
so,
man.
It'll be like a year delay, but we'll definitely have a nice compilation CD that we will be giving out to people for free. No
That's
charge.
Awesome.
So, won't be a lot of artwork done with it, but it'll be free, and people will have at least one song. It'll be my pick from every band that's played. So,
yeah, man.
Cool.
Awesome.
So, all right. It's really cool. I thank you so much. This is really cool.
That's not a problem, man.
Radio interviews are so much fun, man.
Yeah, man.
I'm so happy to be your test subject.
Yes.
Your pilot episode, man.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Man.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Do it. Once again, thank you.
Check it out.
Facebook.com/Composing the Apocalypse. Yes.
Facebook.com/Posdemic Entertainment and Facebook.com/JJamesandTJohnson.
Yep. Peace.
Yeah.
Hello world, you're listening to Echo Pod Media.